So political analysts try to determine the direction and the momentum in the Arab world as political unrest sweeps, and that's what we've been covering all morning here on The Takeaway. But there are also financial implications. Rating agencies take a look at the quality of the sovereign debt of governments that suddenly find themselves shaky. And yesterday we asked the question, what did Tokyo, Tunisia, and Kentucky have in common? Well, they have found themselves on the wrong side of rating agencies this week. And for a look at the power of rating agencies in political terms and also financial terms, we're joined by Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And part of this is a story of the power of the rating agencies themselves and their ability to change the rules and actually change the math whereby they come up with their ratings. What's going on today?
Well, you know, you see the power of the rating agencies everywhere, but you also see the power of Wall Street because just overnight, the cost of betting against Egypt's debt has been soaring. This is where they buy credit default swaps, you know, derivatives to bet against a company. And what's going on here is that the rating agencies are looking at Tunisia's debt and warning about the ability of the Tunisia government to pay back its debt. And so investors, you know, they say on Wall Street you can make money doing anything, are saying, aha, maybe nearby countries will be downgraded like Egypt, and maybe the Egyptian government will have trouble paying back its debt because of the unrest. And so they're betting on that.
And it's interesting because the bets in Tunisia are the strength of this shaky new government, whereas the bet in Egypt is sort of just the converse. It's the strength or viability of this 30-year-long essentially dictatorship. Will it stay in power in Egypt? So it's sort of interesting. Let's bring this closer to home. How is Moody's, for instance, changing the game a little bit and how it ranks the debt quality of states?
So they've come out this week with a very big decision where they've said that from now on in the ratings of state debt, if a state has a pension fund that has a big gap where it's unfunded, where they're going to have to tax taxpayers, for instance, more to cover it, they're going to bring that into the equation in the rating. And this is something that actually pensions have special accounting rules. They're not required to go into as much detail about unfunded pensions as companies are. So this is a big change. This is Moody's saying, we're going to treat state governments like we do companies. And so that means that they're...
So that means putting really all the debt on the table. And in the case of unfunded pension obligations, that's one piece. But there are also, and we've talked about this on this program before, there are also these sort of special obligation bonds of like port authorities and airport authorities and utility authorities that sometimes don't go into the calculation of the debt rating of a state, right?
That's right. And so it's one of the things that has made investors say that the finances of states and cities are so hard to really understand. And some people say that's leading to a bit of the panic in the muni market right now because their financials are just not as standardized and as transparent. So on the one hand, you could say this Moody's change is bad for these states. You know, states like Connecticut and Hawaii and New Jersey and Illinois, they have these huge unfunded pension liabilities. So you could say this is bad. It may bring their rating down. But on the other hand, when the rating agencies make their formulas more thorough, it often gives investors over time more information, which could make them feel more confident in the ratings. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things to watch when you see rating downgrades, like, you know, yesterday we saw Japan downgraded by S&P, is to watch, is this Japan, a...
Japanese leaders could use some Kentucky bourbon, actually, this morning, based on what Moody's did yesterday.
It was a big one. It was a big one. They downgraded because Japanese debt, actually, in comparison to their GDP, is even bigger than Greece's debt compared to its GDP. And they really borrow quite a lot, and that's why their debt was downgraded. But the thing to watch when you see ratings downgrades are, is this being downgraded because the rating agency is changing their whole formula? And so nothing's really changed in this company or in this state, but they're looking at, they're adding a new thing to the equation, which is what's happening in the states. It's what's happened in a lot of mortgage-backed securities during the crisis is they were just changing the formula. So you would see, you know, 100 securities downgraded at once. That's different from when you see Japan, for instance. That's just a one-off. They're the only one downgraded at that time, and that's because they really think Japan's situation is getting out of control, is getting worse.
So you've got the Japan downgrade. We mentioned the Tunisian downgrade, which has an impact on the viability of that new government over in Tunisia. And, of course, you also just alluded to the fact that the ratings agencies seem to be part of the problem in the financial meltdown. Are all of these stories in aggregate a sense that the ratings agencies are being more trusted than they were, say, 2 years ago?
Well, they're certainly trying to be more vigorous. I mean, when I talk to Wall Street traders all the time, though, I mean, it's still kind of the biggest throwaway joke line. People say, like, you know, oh, you can't trust the ratings, you know, because they didn't foresee the problems coming in the housing market or the mortgage bonds. But of course, very few people did. You know,
ratings in TV, ratings in the financial world. It's all the same kind of story. Louise Story, thanks so much. Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times.